The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 60, text number 43, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on June 8th, 2013, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tam tva anurupam abhajam jagatam adisham atmanam atra cha paratra cha kama puram siyat me tava angri aranam shrutivi brahmantya ya vai bhajatam upayati anitta appavarga Tang tvanu rupa mambajam jagatam madisham. Atmana matta chaparatta chakama puram.
Atmana matta chaparatta chakama puram.
Sian me tavangir aranam shritibir brahmantya. Yo vai bhajanta mupayat yanita pavarga.
Yo vai bhajanta mupayat
yanita pavarga. Tang tvanu rupa majajang jagatam madisham.
Tang tvanu rupa majajang jagatam madisham.
Atmana matra chaparatra krakama puram.
Atmana matra
Yan me tavangir aranam shruti bir brahmantya.
Yan me tavangir aranam shruti bir brahmantya.
Yo vai bhajantam upayat yanita pavarga.
Yo vai bhajantam upayat yanita
pavarga.
Tam,
him.
Tva,
yourself.
Anurupam,
suitable. Abhajam, I have chosen. Jagatam, of all the worlds. Adisham, the ultimate master. Atmanam, the supreme soul. Atra, in this life. Cha and paratra in the next life. Cha also kama of desires. Puram the fulfiller. Siyat may they be. May for me. Tava your angri feet, aranam shelter, shatibhi by the various movements from one species of life to another. Brahmantya, who has been wandering, ya, which feet? Vai, indeed, Vajantam,
their worshipper.
Upayati, approach. Anrita, from untruth. Appavarga, freedom. Translation and purport. By the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Because you are suitable for me, I have chosen you, the Master and Supreme Soul of all the worlds, who fulfill our desires in this life and the next. May your feet, which give freedom from illusion by approaching their worshipper, give shelter to me who have been wandering from one material situation to another. Purport. An alternate reading for the word Shrutibhi is Shrutibhi, in which case the idea Rukmini expresses is this. I have been bewildered by hearing from various religious scriptures about numerous rituals and ceremonies with their promise of fruitive results. Srila Sridhar Swami gives this explanation, while Srila Jiva Goswami and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti give an additional idea Rukmini might express with the word Shrutibhi. My dear Lord Krishna, I was bewildered by hearing about your various incarnations. I heard that when you descended as Ram, you abandoned your wife Sita, and that in this life you abandoned the gopis. Thus, I was bewildered. It is understood that Srimati Rukmini Devi is the eternally liberated consort of Lord Krishna. But in these verses, she humbly plays the part of a mortal woman taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So the point here is that even though she's eternally liberated, she's presenting herself as a conditioned soul praying for shelter. In this way, she's acharya, you see. She's teaching by her example. Even though she doesn't need, she's already eternally liberated. See? She's showing the way for us, you see, that we have to pray for shelter of Krishna. We have no other shelter. We were discussing this previously. Actually, we have no shelter. Samashvataye. We have no shelter other than the lotus feet of Krishna. Samashvataye palapallava plavam mahatpupam mahatpadang punyam shomarare bhavam buddhir vatsaparang param padam 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 yad padam natesham. Described very nicely in Bhagavatam. For one who takes shelter of the boat at the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and who is widely known for being the annihilator of that rascal demon named Muda, this vast insurmountable ocean of material existence becomes shrunk down to the amount of water contained within the hoofprint of a calf. For such persons, their aim is the parampadam, that Vaikuntha realm, not that place, padam padam yadvibhatam natesham, not that place where there is danger at every step. So this lesson we have to learn how to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. We approach him through the medium of the spiritual master. Therefore, we take shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master, who represents, or which represents, the lotus feet of Krishna. This taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna is our only hope. Otherwise, we're drowning in this material existence, whereabouts unknown. Just imagine if you were an astronaut and they, you know, you were shot into outer space on some space mission. And then He had to do some work outside of his, on the outside of your space capsule. He needed something, screw needed tightening or something. So you went out there, and but somehow something happened, and you drifted away from your space capsule. And you're drifting in space, but no, you're just stuck drifting in space, you see. Whereabouts unknown. You just drift off, and they lose track of where you are, and your oxygen tank is running out. And it's all over. You're just drifting in space, you see. So that's our position, this material world. Whereabouts unknown. We're just drifting in the cycle of birth and death, you see. So we have to have that shelter. We have to have that shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Otherwise, we're just going to drift and drift and drift to the 8,400,000 species again and again and again. Jalajanavalakshani stavara lakshavinkshati krimiyo rudra sankhyaka pashinanda shalakshanam trantalakshani pashavaha chaturlakshani manasaha. It is described in the Vishnu Purana there are these 8,400,000 species. Jalaja, what is that? Water is jala, ja is born. So water born, who was born in the water? The birds? The humans? No, the fish. They are jalaja, born in the water. So jalaja navalakshani. There are 900,000 different types of aquatics. You see, stavala lakshavinkshati. Stavara means one who stays in one place. You see, sta. It's like microphone. Stand, microphone, sta, you see. The same sta. Stand, sta, same thing. This word, English word stand, is derived from the Sanskrit word sta. Stavara, those who stand in one place, the trees, the bushes, you see, the grass, the plants, they're planted in one place. So in this way, the Vishnu Purana very expertly describes. The scientists still have not counted all the species yet. They're so proud of their scientific advancement. They're so proud of being able to declare that everything comes out of absolutely nothing. But they can't even count the species. They can't even describe what's right here in front of their faces. You see, the 8,400,000 species. They can't even count the species, and they wanted to tell us where everything has come from. First tell us accurately what's in front of us right now, and then speak about where it all came from, you see. They can't even describe what's happening right here in front of us right now, and then they want to explain where it all came from. Just see the audacity of these rascals, you see. Actually, they are not scientists, they are dogmatists. Where is their science, you see? You see, they're not scientific, they're dogmatic. They criticize us for being dogmatic, but we have scientific evidence to verify our what we say. We speak scientifically here. We're not speaking from blind faith, you see. The great sages, they have directly seen Krishna. It is not some blind faith. They can see Krishna face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achyantya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. I have worshipped the primeval Lord Govinda, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion, tinged with the salve of love. These great, our authorities, they can see Krishna directly at every minute. Santaksadaiva. It means at every minute. Some people say, well, have you seen God? Has he seen God, you see? There's no question, Prabhupada, of seeing God once. He is seeing God at every minute, rascal. You see, there's no question seeing God only once, you see. The pure devotees, those who are actually devotees, purely fixed in bhakti, they can see Krishna at every minute. So we are not blind faith dogmatists. Our acharyas, they can see Krishna directly at every minute. Someone asked, well, how do you know the Bhagavad Gita is, this edition of Gita is the actual word spoken by Krishna? Because the pure devotees, they can experience that. They have realization. Prabhupada told me in one letter, he said, if you will engage 24 hours a day serving Krishna with full sincerity of attitude, Krishna will personally come to you and answer every question you have. So the pure devotee, he can directly, he's seeing Krishna, directly communicating with Krishna. And Krishna can say, yes, this is bona fide. These are my actual words. He can confirm it. The pure devotee can ask Krishna, this Bhagavad Gita we've gotten, are these your actual words? And Krishna will confirm or deny. He said, no, this verse is wrong. No, but it's confirmed. Krishna confirms to Srila Prabhupada that these are the actual words that he spoke 5,000 years ago. What we have right here in the book, the exact words spoken 5,000 years, Krishna personally confirms this to Srila Prabhupada. You see? So we're not following any blind faith here. You see? We're following the path of scientific knowledge of the Absolute Truth. So we shouldn't be discouraged or disturbed by the barking dogs known as scientists who tell us that this is simply a bunch of blind faith hogwash, these scriptures. You see? We shouldn't be disturbed by them. They say that religion is just for little children. You have to give them religion. It's a way of teaching them to be moral. There's actually no God. It's just you tell them that so they behave properly. You see? Just like children, just like we were taught, you know, Santa Claus is watching you. You have to be, he knows if you're in bad or good, so you have to be good for goodness sake, because Santa Claus is watching you. And he'll give you presents according, if you're a good boy, he'll give you very nice presents at Christmas, you see. You see, we're told these things, little children. So they say that God is just something like that too. For children, it's Santa Claus, and then you get older, they talk about God as the same principle. It's just some make-believe story to make you behave yourself, you see. That's what they say. And they applaud. When the scientists say this, the audience laughs and applauds. Yes, it's these religious people are a bunch of kooks, a bunch of nuts. I actually saw one video of Dr. Stephen Hawking telling everyone what was the actual position of people who have religious faith. And the whole auditorium was just laughing and cheering, you know, to hear how stupid the lovers of God are. How stupid, how unintelligent, how absolutely, you know, foolish people are who believe in God, you see. So this is the kind of propaganda going on in the world, you see. We have to understand these people are demons, these people are rascals. They are undermining the very substance of life itself. We are dependent on God at every minute. You see? Nitya nitya nam, chaitanas chaitananam, eko bahunam yovardati kama. We have a saying in English, it's called biting the hand that feeds you. You see? What sort of gratitude is that? God is giving you everything. He's giving you your food, the air you breathe, the sunshine to keep you warm. He's giving you clothing. He's giving you a house. He's giving you a family. He's giving you a vehicle. He's giving you a job. He's giving you income. He's giving you everything you have, and you say it doesn't even exist. What sort of nonsense is that, you ungrateful rascal? You see? These scientists are simply ungrateful rascals. So we have to hear from the actual authorities. We have to hear from the acharyas and not become disturbed by the propaganda of these so-called scientists. We have to have faith in the words of the great acharyas. They are pure devotees of the Lord. They have no ulterior motive to exploit us for their sense gratification. I know, I was preaching at a couple of years. My GBC sent me to open a center. I was a one-man center. It was quite an interesting austerity, actually, to be all alone for 2 years running a center. It was me, myself, and I, We had three members of our center, me, myself, and I. And but I had a neighbor, and it was a Bayou University campus, the University of Oklahoma, one of the states of the U.S. It's north of Texas. So my neighbor, he was a PhD candidate in physics. He was studying physics at the university, and he told me, because the professors, the scientists there in the university, they do this research and they get money from the government. They have to give their report, you know, what they've discovered, what their research is, so they get more grants from the government. And he told me they were lying about what they had discovered. They're just concocting so many lies to get more money from the government. He told me. You see, he's entering into that field to become one of them. But he hadn't been totally brainwashed yet. He actually told me the truth, and they were lying and to get money from the government. So these are the people who are supposed to be the leading thinkers of the day, you know. They're just after money, power, and prestige. You see, that's them. They're not lovers of truth. They should be. Now, a real scientist is a lover of truth. Now, there may be some real scientists out there who are really trying to find out what's true, who are really open-minded, but in general, they are rascals and cheaters. They have their dogma, and they're simply out to get money, more money from the government. So we should hear instead from the real scientists who actually know scientifically the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who understand where everything has come from. You see? Brahmaji is the original scientist in this universe. Ekopyasavrachayatam jagananda kotim yatsaktaresha jagatanda jayan yaranta andantadasta paramano chayantadastam govindam adipurusham tamahamajami. Lord Brahma has very nicely explained about Krishna in a very, very profound scientific way. He is an undifferentiated entity, as there is no distinction between potency and the possessor thereof. In his work of creation of millions of worlds, his potency remains inseparable. All the universes exist in him, and he is present in his fullness in every one of the atoms that is scattered throughout the universes at one and the same time. Such is the primeval Lord of Mayadura. Now that's a scientist, you see. That's a real scientist who actually knows what's going on in the atoms. He can look inside the atoms and see what's actually going on, you see. That's a real scientist. Brahmaji is a real scientist. And those who come in the line of Brahmaji, they are true scientists, you see. We have our Brahma Sampradaya, you see. The vision. These are the real scientists. These great acharyas are the actual scientists who scientifically know what is true. They're not speculators, you see. Speculation is not science. Speculation is simply guesswork. Guesses are not scientific. Solid facts, that is scientific. So we're very fortunate to be students of this great Brahma Sampradaya, so that we can know scientifically what is true and what is not true. So are there any questions? His Holiness Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj Ki Jai, one of my great, great god brothers. I had associated with him on a number of occasions. Very sweet and wonderful devotee, Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. He met the number one scientist. I think it took him 1 year to have an appointment with him. The scientist said that what they want is to tell the other scientists to stop cheating the world. He did meet, I don't know which scientist this is being referred to, but there's a famous scientist, George, I believe his name is George Wald. He's a leading physicist. Is that the one? It's an interesting story because many years before, that same physicist, a very famous physicist, was giving a presentation at the University of Florida. That's a scientific presentation in an auditorium packed with, you know, teachers and students. And our temple president went there and he challenged him in front of everyone. And there was a debate, and our temple president actually defeated him in debate. And then years later he met Bhakti Swarup Damodar and became very good friends with our movement. And I know he later on he came and gave a presentation at the University of Texas, and one of our devotees went there and brought some prasadam, and he said, "I see our friends from the Hare Krishna movement are here tonight." So there's some very nice cultivation of that Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj did of some of these leading scientists. Very, very nicely he cultivated them. He arranged gatherings of scientists that discuss consciousness, and a very wonderful service he did for Srila Prabhupada. I remember when I was serving in Atlanta, Georgia with him in the same temple. He had gone to India and spent some time with Prabhupada. This is Prabhupada's last year. Prabhupada had not departed yet, but he was there in the last year with Prabhupada. Prabhupada was so much keen on preaching to him that Prabhupada would be preaching to him, and then even Prabhupada would go to the toilet room. He would take him with him to the toilet room and keep preaching to him while he was in the toilet room. Can you imagine what kind of intimacy a relationship he had with Prabhupada, that Prabhupada would keep preaching to him even in the toilet room. He would bring him to the toilet room and keep the preaching going. It was amazing. He told me about that. He'd actually told us his experience with Prabhupada in Vrindavan. It was amazing. He came back to Vrindavan, Atlanta, and was telling us all about this. So what? Jai Shri Shri Radha Golokananda ki jai. So what, according to the modern scientists, is the beginning of the existence of life? They say it came out of nothing. Life begins from nothing. In fact, Stephen Hawking says it begins from absolutely nothing. That's there. But where is the scientific evidence that you can get something out of nothing? No experiment has ever been done where you can take nothing and get something out of it, but yet the scientists claim that this universe came out of absolutely nothing. Please tell us about your stay in Mauritius. I say delicious Mauritius. Because I have your association. It's been very wonderful. Very wonderful. It's always a treat for me to come here. Our movement is developed very nicely here, and it can expand much further. We have to actually take over the Indian community here, otherwise this will become a Muslim country in due course, because the Muslims they're having more kids than the Hindus, about twice as many. It's just a matter of time before the Muslims take over this country and be under Sharia law here. Unless you preach very strongly and get all the Hindu community in Lord Chaitanya's movement, you see. Otherwise the Muslims will take over. So I have a sense of urgency when I come here, when I preach, to try to get everyone unified with Prabhupada, because there's so many. The Hindus are completely divided, you know. The Durga worshippers, the Ganesh worshippers are completely divided up, you see, divided out. We have to get everybody on one page here, the whole Kenyan community, and then the Muslims won't be able to take over in the future, you see. We have to get everybody strong here, following Prabhupada. I feel a real sense of urgency when I come here. Despite going to the temple regularly, serving gurus, etc., I still don't have the feeling or energy to engage myself in this movement. Why is this so? You don't have the sense of urgency. That's a problem. You think you have an option. There is no option. You either swim or you sink. That's it. Either take to this movement or go to the animal kingdom. And really, you have to understand the urgency. Does the material energy, Maya, try to water you, and how do you react in this situation? I just pray to Prabhupada. Actually, Prabhupada himself said, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. So when the material energy attacks, you just have to take shelter of Guru and Krishna. That's all you can do, and just beg for the mercy. Not by your own power you can defeat the material energy. You have to beg for mercy from Guru and Krishna when Maya attacks you. What is the meaning of adhikari? It means, adhikar means the right or the empowerment. So an adhikari is one who is empowered. Bill Clinton received a Gita. What effect will it have yet on him if he doesn't read it? Well, just having the fact that when he got the Gita he actually held it up. When he was on the street, he's a big celebrity in the U.S. And so when people saw Bill Clinton was there, a huge crowd came. And here they're all watching the devotee give him a Bhagavad Gita. And he held the book up. He was like, he was really proud and happy. He held up the book and everybody was enlivened. He was holding up the book, you see. He hugged the devotee. Actually, what happened was, Bhakti Brian is now my disciple, Bhakti Vatsala Das. He's a former Hollywood actor who gave up Hollywood to become a brahmachari. You see, brahmachari life is better than being a Hollywood actor, you see. Being a famous Hollywood, better to be a brahmachari than to be a well-paid, famous Hollywood actor, you see. So anyway, he gave up being a Hollywood actor to be a brahmachari in the Los Angeles temple. He was out distributing books. And he was there, it was a crowded sidewalk, and then he noticed looked like bodyguards, these guys with suits, and looked like they had guns under their thing, you know. He was noticing these people, they looked like bodyguards. He said, maybe there's some big rock star coming down here, some celebrity. Let me see who's coming down the street. And all of a sudden, the crowd parted, and there was Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton ignored everybody else. He came walking up to Bhakti Vatsala Das and hugged him. So Bill Clinton had some appreciation for Ardha Movement. He walked up and hugged the brahmachari in front of the media was there, all the cameras are there, the reporters, and there he is ignoring everybody, just hugging this brahmachari, you see. And then Bhakti Vatsala was thinking, what to do, you know. And he said, give him a book. He didn't ask for any money, it's okay in that kind of a situation. But he said, can I give you this book? Can I give you this Bhagavad Gita? He used to be an admirer of Bill Clinton before he became a devotee. He said, oh, Bill, it's so nice to see you. I really appreciate you. He gave him some nice, Bill liked that, of course, when he heard these nice words of praise from the devotee, And he said, can I give you this Bhagavad Gita? And Bill said, sure. The biggest face lit up. He said, sure. And then he took the Bhagavad Gita and then it was time, his limousine came, it was time to get back in the limousine to go wherever he was going. And they told him it's time to come back. And then he went out of the limousine. Before he got in the door, he stood up, he held the Bhagavad Gita, and then for everyone to see the Bhagavad Gita. And so Bhakti Vatsala, as he drove away, Bhakti Vatsala was just praying, please, Krishna, let him read it. Please let him read it, not be distracted. He was praying, please let him read it, please. And so we don't know what he did with the Gita once he got in the limousine and headed off with it. But the fact that he glorified it, he held it up in the air, he hugged the devotee, he's gotten some sukriti. So that's encouraging about the future of the world, because he's still very influential in the world, even though he's not the president anymore. He's a very influential person. And he's also a vegan now as well. Because of health reasons, he gave up eating meat. So that can help him have some intelligence. Why people believe in the words of the Mayavadi scientists instead of believing the spiritual scientists? A sense gratification. desire for sense gratification. Karma, good and bad, good or bad, will bring us back to this world. Is the upbringing of kids karma? It could be. If you don't raise them to be devotees, it's karma. If you raise a kid very nicely to be a successful materialist, and he becomes a very successful materialist because you trained him so well, what would be your karmic reaction? You will come back as the kid, and he will be the parent, and he will train you to be an expert materialist. You see? That's the reward. You can be you switch roles. The kid can be the parent, and you'll be the kid, and he'll teach you how to become a very good materialist. You see? So train them to be devotees. That's the important thing. Does Krishna associate personally with mean person like me? No. If you're a mean, nasty, envious snake, Krishna's not going to mess with you. He's going to leave you out there in the material energy. If you want Krishna to come, you have to give up your mean, envious mentality that you're describing yourself as having right here. You have to give it up. You have to become a humble devotee of the Lord. Krishna doesn't... Krishna, you only get a shadow of the name. You won't, Krishna, the pure name will not come to you if you have an envious attitude. If you want Krishna to come, you become humble devotee, and then Krishna will fully manifest in the name. Of course, the name is there. Krishna is there, no doubt, but you're not contacting him. That's the point. In a scale of 1 to 50, how much is Kali Yuga advanced right now? Well, it's only advanced to about 2 so far. And we got 48 to go. So it's going to be... If you think it's bad now, then just stick around until the end of the Kali Yuga, when the whole society is cannibalistic. And if someone invites you over for dinner, you're the dinner. Get out while you have a chance. You know, take this movement seriously. Don't be carried away by the idea of enjoying the material world. You see? Strictly follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and your spiritual master. Get out of here while you have a chance. That's all I can say. How do the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita deal with economics? Ananbhavanti putani parjanyo anasambhavaha jagyadbhaviti parjanyo yagya karma samudbhavaha. Chapter 3, text number 14. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by the performance of yagya, sacrifice, and sacrifice is born of prescribed duties. That's how Bhagavad Gita deals with economics. Economics depends on the rain. If there's no rain, there's no grain. And if there's no grain, you die. So economics depends on chanting Hare Krishna, because that is the Yuga Dharma, that is the Yajna for this age, Sankirtan Yajna. You're worried about economic development? Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then economic development will automatically be there. If you don't pay your water bill, what happens? They turn off the water. So if we don't do yajna, if we don't do some kirtan yajna, we're not paying our bills, and the utility company is going to turn off our electricity, our water, everything. We'll find ourselves in, and that's what's happening in the modern day society. That's why you have drought sometimes here, or floods also. You see, what's it? Ativristi and anavristi. You have too much rain or too little rain. This imbalance in nature is all due to the fact we are not performing some kirtan yajna sufficiently. So you have to get more and more people to join the Sankirtan. It's very, very important to get more and more and more people. You see, because when we can get the vast majority of the society to perform, to do the Harinam Sankirtan Yajna, then the economic situation will become very nicely situated. how can we distinguish between advices given by the mind and instructions from the super soul? That's why you need a guru. That's why you need to read Prabhupada's books. Then you will know. That's why a guru is required, so he can help you to see what advanced devotees. They are siksha guru, you see. We need advanced devotees. Just like here we have our Arjuna Prabhu, senior devotee, you see. Advanced devotee, Prabhupada disciple, siksha guru. So we need to take instructions. You don't. This is a time to sit and talk, not to sit and talk, but to sit and hear. Please. So we need to take advice and instruction from our Guru Maharaj, from senior Vaishnavas, and from Prabhupada's books, and then we can distinguish between what is the difference between my mental concoction and what is actually instruction of Krishna. So our questions have I see one more question being written down. So we'll make this the last. One scientist said all plants, insects, animals are contributing to nature, only human beings are not. And if humans becomes extinct, then the whole world will become perfect. Actually, he's half right. He's half 50% correct. Because every other species, of all the 8,400,000 species, the non-human species are all acting perfectly according to Dharma. Every species is doing perfectly their part of nature. Everyone is acting fully naturally as they're supposed to, except for the humans. The humans are the ones who are screwing up the whole atmosphere on this planet. Are the birds polluting the atmosphere? Are the fish polluting? No, the human beings are polluting the atmosphere. You see? The human beings are the problem. If there were no human beings, it's a fact, all this pollution, and it would become a perfectly natural environment again if the human beings weren't here. But this world is actually meant for the human beings especially. That's what the scientist doesn't know. This world is meant to evolve to the human form. The lower species are there to purify you of sins you committed in previous human births so that you can finally come again to the human birth and become enlightened and self-realized. This is a rehabilitation center, actually, what it is. The other species are part of the rehabilitation process. But the final rehabilitation can only take place in the human form in which you have free will. You see? So it's a rehabilitation center. It's not a place for sense enjoyment, which the scientist doesn't understand. He thinks it's simply a place for sense enjoyment. He doesn't realize it's a rehabilitation center for persons who fell down from the spiritual world due to envy of the Supreme. So if we want a perfect world, actually the world is already perfect by Krishna's arrangement. Om Purnam Madaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Madachyate. This world is already a perfect arrangement of the Supreme. Already perfect. The imperfections we are experiencing are our lack of connection with the Supreme Perfect Krishna. That's it. Whatever imperfections we are experiencing are simply due to our lack of connection with the Supreme Perfect Krishna. But actually this world is perfect. And all the hell, the nightmare that's going on is for our purification. So, that's it. We're heading out today for South Africa, and we very much appreciate my wife and I very much appreciate you all and how you are carrying on the Prabhupada mission here. Please continue as you are doing, worshipping the deity very nicely with love and devotion, feeding him all varieties of nice foodstuffs, preaching, cultivating people, convincing people to chant 16 rounds, follow the regulated principles, engage everyone in this Namasankirtan as far as possible, and distribute Prabhupada's books as far as wide as possible to every home on the island. In this way, take advantage of the actually very, very conducive situation here for this Krishna consciousness, and make this the first Krishna conscious country in the world. You see, make that your goal, to make the whole country Krishna conscious. But the government is also Krishna conscious. I mean, I see how very auspicious it is here. Every time I come, I speak at a government agency. I'm welcome to speak there at a government agency, Enterprise Mauritius. I speak there every time I come. And the government here is very open to Krishna consciousness. We have to take advantage of this and present Krishna consciousness in a very scientific, compassionate way, so that people feel comfortable with Krishna consciousness and they want to embrace it. We have to be very intelligently presented in such a way that everyone will want to embrace this Krishna consciousness process, so that we can fulfill our duty here to make Mauritius completely Krishna conscious country. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
His great Shankar Shandasa Vikari Maharaj ki jai.